we're on page Kuf Mem, which is page 2. Ice Gimel. It's just the second page. I numbered each of the pages so we could make it simpler. So it's page 2. Ice Gimel. We began last week to talk about the Nakuda of Mashiach, that there's a point of Mashiach inside each and every one of us. And during this time of the year in particular, Hashem gives us special kaiches to strengthen and to build that part of us that's called Mashiach. We spoke last week at the end. We learned a piece from the Mari Naim, from the Chernobyler, regarding the Nakuda of Eliyahu and Mashiach inside each and every one of us, that hope and the anticipation, the expectation of good things to begin, of a Besoira, of something good in our lives, in our Avodas Hashem, that's the point of Eliyahu Navi. And we spoke about the Inyan of Mashiach, with strengthening our Machshava, our thoughts, connecting our thoughts to Dibur, to speech, and Lamaisa, changing our lives. We try not to think of this period of time as leaning into the period of Elul and Rosh Hashanah. We're very, in America especially, we're very connected to the summer. And we like to keep Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur separate. But we're going to learn that Baruch Hashem, and it's a chesed from Hashem is Baruch, that this entire time of the year, really beginning from this time, is one tkufa, is one amazing, amazing period, particularly from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah, that this tkufa of 50 days, we're going to see, is parallel to the time of Sfiras Omer and Shulis. We're going to see a lot of amazing things about that. What we're going to talk about now is the young man. He's learning the song. Tell him that we heard. I'm sorry. We're going to learn about what can we do to be mechazik this nekuda of Mashiach within us, to understand more about what it means, to realize. That there are particular milchamas, there are particular battles, there are struggles that are the milchamas, the same way that we know from Chazal certain battles, certain struggles that take place before Mashiach comes. Halavai, we should be yotze that with what's happened to our people over this period of time, since the war and this whole last century and now. That there are milchamas, so too there is a particular milchama we're going to talk about that we have to fight in order to be zeichet to reveal that nekud of Mashiach that's within us. So let's begin on Ice Gimel, page 2, Ice Gimel. Echad, we're going to learn very quickly, as I said, and those of you who have been here in the past know that Rabbi Meir, and I mentioned this last week, that it's really like somebody who's speaking, so there is some repetition, and we have to move quickly, so we cover the entire countries. Echad mi'ikarei ha'inyanim shemenachim l'kudah shel Mashiach, she'osa kibalna b'tishuv hu hakoyach ha'atzom shel chizuk shel ahava shel dveikah shel eschaba shel simcha. That, again, we don't normally associate Tisha B'Av with a time of simcha, with a time of encouragement, and a time of chizuk, but the truth is, as we're going to learn, that everybody here knows that Tisha B'Av is actually referred to as a Yontif. Tisha B'Av is called in the Megillah a Moed. A Yontif, a Moed means an encounter. It means meeting up with Hashem. Just like we have the Ohel Moed. And the Ohel Moed was a place where the Baruch Shalom would meet with Moshe Rabbeinu, Kivyachal. It was a meeting place. So too, there's something very special that happens this Yontif, this time of Tisha B'Av, where we receive a tremendous, tremendous amount of chizik, of ahava, a feeling of Hashem's love, a feeling of a dveikus, a feeling of a schabris, of being connected to Hashem, and even a feeling of simcha. Of course, the main feeling of simcha begins with the nechama in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, as Tisha B'Av is concluding. But the truth is that even Tisha B'Av itself, this entire period of time, he explains, whether we are conscious of this or we're not really, we don't really understand this. Since we have a Kabbalah from Chazal that Mashiach is born Tisha B'Av, and we've learned that according to this Svarim, it does not only mean, it doesn't mean that he is physically born, or the Halavah, he was already born some years ago, so that he will be able to appear the Guf physically in our lives. But the meaning of Leidus HaMashiach on a deeper level is that within each and every one of us, this Koyach of Mashiach, which we're going to learn about this entire talk, that this Koyach, this energy of Mashiach, of redeeming ourselves, is born in each and every one of us on Tisha B'Av, is Leidus HaMashiach. Zo HaKoyach Shal Nechama. And there's a feeling of Nechama that comes with that. There's a feeling of unbelievable Nechama that comes with that. HaKoyach Shal Chizik. I find personally Tisha B'Av to be, I don't know, I don't want to say the most inspiring day of the year, because I don't want it to remain in the present, in its present state, but I personally find Tisha B'Av to be an unbelievably inspiring day, because in many, many ways we can connect to that and feel more of that and receive more chizik and more emuna than we do the entire year. So he explains, "Ubefrak b'dor shalanu, sheneida sheikra avaydus Hashem hu akayos shel chizik." He speaks very often about this, and the tzaddikim talk a great deal about this, how the ikra avaydus Hashem in our generation, the main avaydus Hashem in our generation, is chizik. It's the main way to serve Hashem for ourselves, for our children, is chazkis, and we're going to learn a lot about what does that mean, chizik. Chizik doesn't just mean to say a good word, although that's part of it. We're going to see what is his chazkis. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechazik each and every one of us this time. HaKoyach Shel Simcha. The way to accomplish these days is not by frightening, it's not by scaring, it's not by chas v'sholom, it's not by threatening. The ikker way to be mashpia on ourselves and our children is with simcha and with ahava. And if that's the way that Hashem Baruch Hu expects us to act towards our children and to be makar of them now, with simcha and with a chizik and with a hava, then certainly we could expect Hashem Baruch to do the same for us, to be makar of us these days with chizik and with a hava. Kefi sheduver parichus bez Hashem Baruch b'tisha b'av achre etzayim b'shana zu b'shana sh'over bez Hashem Baruch gadol ha'gilui ha'otzem shla hava shenishba b'tisha b'av l'achar chatzos b'shos ha'preda. You know, the time that the Beis HaMikdash was actually burned was really from the 9th going into the 10th. There is even a consideration in halacha of the possibility of there being a fast day on the 10th as well. Okay, Baruch Hashem, for whatever reason, I'm not going to go into the technical reasons, that wasn't passed. So we just have Tisha B'Av. But really, really, on the 10th of Av is when the smoldering was finished. One of the remarkable things about that time, on that day when Mashiach was born, we're told by Chazal that when our enemies came into the Beis HaMikdash, the Kruvim were hugging each other. The two cherubs, the two Kruvim, that were above the Aron of Hashem, that they were embracing each other. And all of this from talk about this, it's very odd, because we would think it would be just the opposite, since we know that the way to measure the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people was always with the Kruvim. Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Yuma and other places that when the Kruvim were facing each other, not hugging each other, they were facing each other as they were set up. When they would face each other, that was a sign that the Jewish people were living in accordance to Hashem's will, and therefore he was facing us and we were facing him. This was in the form of a zoch and a keva, of a boy and a girl, of a chasen and a kala. And when there's ahava, when there's real love, so the way that they are with each other is einayich yonim. The eyes are in a way that they're able to face each other. The eyes are facing each other. When, God forbid, we're not living in accordance to Hashem's will, when things are not going well in our relationship, just like, God forbid, in a relationship in this world, when things are not going well, then they can't face each other. They're not able to look at each other. So, what was amazing was that on that day of Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they found the Kruvim turned towards each other, not only looking at each other, but they started hugging each other. It was a miracle that they were hugging each other. And the B'nai S'as and all that said, they can talk about this, that would have been the least likely day to think that was happening. Just like in our period of time, if somebody would say to us, what would you think that during this period of time that Hashem is Baruch Hu, that we have this relationship, that there's a hug, there's an embrace, we would say we're so far removed from Kedusha, it can't be. But Davka, that's what they found. So what that shows us is that somehow on the day of Tisha B'Av, and this is connected to this reality of Mashiach being born on Tisha B'Av, that although to us things appear to be most bleak and most dark and most painful, at that time Hashem is Baruch Hu is embracing us in the strongest way. And we need Him more desperately. And there is a gilui, there's a revelation of unbelievable love that takes place. Davke, when we think we're furthest away from Hashem, when we think that He cares least about us, there's a yam, there's an ocean of His chaskas, of embracing us. And that's what he explains over here. That on that day, he says, "Lacha chatzos b'shas ha'preida." At the time, davke, when there would be when the golus was going to begin, there was that last amazing embrace, that last hug, which the Bnei Sosa talks about. When two people love each other and they're going to be separated, the embrace that is there before they're separated is very powerful. It's very strong. Zohar koyach shaleidus Mashiach. This itself is the koyach within us called Leidas Mashiach, that a Jew has the ability, davke, when he feels furthest away, and davke, when things are most difficult, to sense that connection that Hashem is Baruch is reaching out to him, davke, in that difficult time. This is what happened in the Beis HaMikdash, that the two kruvim were facing each other in such a way, a koyach shel kruvim. The Koyach of the Kruvim, which is a symbol of Hashem's love for the Jewish people. We learn that even though, generally speaking, it's always the most powerful way to draw close to Hashem is with a hava, is by emphasizing love. Not to say that one doesn't have to fear Hashem, or one doesn't have to, God forbid, one shouldn't be careful, chas v'sholom, with avarice, of course. But the ikur is a hava, is love. That's true all of the time. But especially in the last generation. You know, what he's talking about here, b'chach ha'ismim, is that in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, v'Elokei Yaakov. So we have the three others are mentioned in the first bracha. Nevertheless, the chasima, the seal or the completion of the bracha, is not Mogein Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. The bracha concludes with Bracha Hashem, Mogein Avraham. But Hashem shield is the shield of Avraham. So Chazal tell us that even though the other two others are mentioned, Avraham and Yitzchak are mentioned, still the Chachayisma means that Hashem tells Avraham Avinu that the Chasima, the completion and the seal of the bracha is going to be with you. The Tzaddikim have taught, the Rabbi Elimelech and the Rabbi from Lublin and other tzaddikim have taught, that B'chach Chaismim is not just talking about the conclusion of that Baruch of Shemoneh Esrei, but B'chach Chaismim means that the Chasima of all of history is going to take place with Avraham Avinu. Which means, we see even now, that there are three amudim, there are three pillars of all existence, as we're taught in Pirkei Avos, Ashleish Advam Ha'ilam Ha'imed, Ala Teira, Ala Voida, Vagmilas Chasadim, Antaira, which is Yaakov Avinu, and Avoida, which the Ikur is Yitzchak Avinu, the Karbanis and Davening, and Agmilas Chasadim, and loving kindness, which is, of course, Avraham Avinu. So the Tzaddikim said, and have said, even in our generation, that we no longer have such greatness and Torah that we used to have. And our Davening is certainly far from the Davening of our ancestors. But B'chach Chaismim means that the seal, the completions with Avraham, the Chasim of the Jewish people is Gemilas Chasadim, which means loving kindness. And the Tzaddikim have said that we see this now also. Even in a shul or in a community, there are many, many people, when it comes to davening, it's not going so well. When it comes to learning, it's not going so well. But when it comes to Gemilas Chasadim, we had recently in our community, lo aleinu, a terrible, terrible tragedy. And the outpouring of love on all levels, emotionally and financially, in every respect, for the almana and for the children, the outpouring of love was something which is impossible to understand unless one is a descendant of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And B'chach Chaismim, the Chasim is Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu means infinite love. So the chasim of history and the chasim of all midas is ahav, is love. And therefore, particularly now, since we're living at the chasim of all of history, the final generation, the conclusion of history, the main koyach that has to be activated is ahav. Gemilas chasadim. Ahav with our children, ahav with each other, ahav in teaching Torah, and so on and so forth with other Jews. That's the chasimas hagolas, the last three lines on Eis Gimel. Shechasimas hagolas tia imakayach shel Avraham Avinu. This was revealed to us, that in order for golas to be completed, we have to strengthen in particular. We do whatever we can in learning, and anything we can in davening. But in particular, the ikar is Avraham Avinu. Zera Avram Ayhavi, that we are called the children of Avram, who was beloved and who loved Hashem, and that nida of Ahava is the most powerful nida. Shezera Koyach Shel Ahava, Koyach Shel Chizik, and that of course is the Koyach of Chizik for each and every one of us. Next page, the Kamoishu Matzino, next column, the Kamoishu Matzino Afilo B'Tishbav Ba'atzmai. And Tisha B'Av itself, Shechazal HaKadoshim Tiknum Sakriya Shekisa L'Banim. Now Tisha B'Av morning, I don't know how many of the women are in Shul Tisha B'Av morning at that time of Kriyas HaTorah, but there's a section that's read from Parshas Ve'eschanan, a section that's read from the Torah, that Chazal, you know, whenever they chose, when Chazal chose a section to read on any Yontif, and the way that it was divided up with the Shabbos and all the Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh and so on, is that the Kriyas HaTorah is perfectly custom designed for that Yom Tov, for that Rosh Chodesh, for whatever that time is. When we learn on Purim, of course, we learn about Mechias HaMalek on Purim, the destruction of Amalek. Every Yom Tov, every Kriyas HaTorah, when we learn, the learning is perfectly designed for the essence of that day, in order to reveal the essence of that day. So if we want to understand Tisha B'Av, what do we read from the Torah on Tisha B'Av? We read on Tisha B'Av morning, Kisay L'Banim. Now Kisay L'Banim is, as I said, is in Dvarim, in Sefer Dvarim. She says, yeah, Kriya Shel Tisha B'Av, Shebezeh Munach HaOr Shel Tisha B'Av. Obviously, if we want to understand Tisha B'Av, we need to look carefully at the Kriya Shel Torah, at the laning of that day. As a Pasuk Echad Yesh Neisham, Shemadabim HaKoshim Shel Hainin Shel Hepech HaSiyas Utsayin Hashem. There is a pasuk there. Reb Tzimei, as a rule, does not talk about anything negative. And you could even see in his language, he doesn't say something bad. He only says, he doesn't say Jews, he never speaks about Jews doing aveiros. He only says, Hepech asiyas ratzon Hashem. When Jews are doing the opposite of God's will. He'll never say, and when you speak to him also, he'll never speak about aveiros, Reb Tzimei. He'll always say, if a Jew, God forbid, is doing the opposite of God's will. So there is a pasuk there in the laning that speaks about Jews not doing well. There is a pasuk there. And it's an upsetting pasuk. Shleisha psukim adam shami mashi yisrachish chasu shalom. And then there are three, followed up by three psukim. If you'll take a look, you'll see. We don't have time to go into the reading right now. Followed up by three psukim that talk about the consequences of those things that are not God's will, if we act that way. Habchinah shel avoid seveidun speaks about destruction. V'shar b'chinas and other things that it's better not to talk about now. Avaruba deruba is a chizuk v'ahava. But what's amazing is if you look at the Kriyas HaTorah of Tisha B'Av, Ruba de Ruba, with the exception of those four psukim, the rest of it, all beautiful, beautiful, wonderful words that Hashem Yisbarach is giving us of chizuk, of tremendous chizuk. It's like Reb Leib L'Egis Chusikin used to say, that to what can this be compared? Hashem Yisbarach gives us Musa, so that you have my father never lifted a hand. He just had to look at me a certain way. That was plenty. My mother would occasionally come after me. She would occasionally come after me. And I remember a few times like trying to hide and go under the bed, and she would come, she said, I'm going to get you. And then on the rare, rare occasions where she caught up with me, and she would give me antuchus, she would give me a patch. So afterwards there was such bechias. My mother was crying so much from that she gave me a patch, and she would start hugging me, and I'm sorry, and I'll never again. And it was clear to me when this was finished that the biggest aveir was my mother's aveir, not mine. I was certain that my mother did a much bigger aveir. Now, I don't know if that's good chinuch, but I love my mother a lot for that. And Reb Leib L'Egis says like this, that when the Baruch Shalom lifts up, he lifts up a pasuk to give us a patch. He has a couple of psukim like that. Hashem's Baruch lifts up a pasuk to give a patch. And it's scary. all he wants, and all Hashem is Baruch Kivyachal himself is davening for, to us, we daven to him, he davens to us, is that what? Is that we should be good children, we should just say, I'm sorry. And the worst thing is when a Jew is obstinate and refuses to say, just like we know with a child. Every one of us is just, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And you tell the kid, all you have to do is just say, you're sorry, you have to be mighty, to admit that it was wrong. And you can't believe it. The kid's not saying it, right? You can't believe it. And you're saying, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. And the kid's not going to budge. And it's a terrible, painful thing if the parent has to carry that through. And Kivyachal Freshman is about to carry it through. The real Yisoid Reb Leibelager says is that the Baruch Shalom just wants us to say sorry and we'll try to be better. And then he says, Reb Leibelager says that Hashem throws down the pasuk, he throws down the belt, he throws down everything, and he just cries and he says, I'm sorry, and don't worry. If you look at the rest of the parashas there that we read in Tisha B'Av, it's all Hashem's book saying that it's going to be okay, it's going to be alright, and you know, I love you and we'll work it out. And it's a hard thing to understand. You would think that in Tisha B'Av we would read the Taichacha. Now, if you wanted to pick, if it were given to a committee of Jews to figure out what would be the appropriate parasha to read, on Tisha B'Av we would probably look either in B'chul Kalsai at the end of Vayikra, or in Parashat Kisavo towards the end of Devarim, where we have the Taichacha, which pretty much is a prediction of those things that would happen and have happened. So we would think that those would be the parashiyas to choose from those sukkim that we should read in Tisha B'Av, but that's not what we read in Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, the ikka, the main thing that's read in Tisha B'Av is divrei chizik. Hashem is Baruch's ahav is chizik. Berach arba chamishiyas mikol ha-parasha, 4/5 of what we read in Tisha B'Av, approximately he says 4/5, shekar b'Tisha B'Av, b'zman shelahelam ha-godol b'yayser, at the time of the greatest concealment. It was the darkest day of our history. And then we read the parasha that has in it 4/5 of what we read in Tisha B'Av is ahav, is love. Bizman shel hakisi hagadol b'yosef, the time of the greatest concealment, shows as zman shel churban, the time of destruction. Zman shel gerush, it was the time of expulsion. Afal pich, of separation. Afal pich en arba chamishia shel haparasha mleim b'chizik. 4/5 are filled with chizik. That's a pretty good ratio. We should think of that when we have to give a little bit of teicha in our own homes and in our lives. That at least 4/5 should be good stuff. That's what we learn from Tisha B'Av. At least 4/5 should be good stuff. V'lo istam chizik, and not only istam chizik, ela divrei chizik atzumen b'yaisa, unbelievable chizik, beautiful, powerful chizik. What's in that parish over there that we read in Tisha B'Av? Uvikashta misham es Hashem Elokecha. Uvikashta misham. And from that darkest moment of your life, you will seek Hashem. Uvikashta misham. It says over there that even though you're thrown to the furthest corner of the world, uvikashta misham. And from that lowest point of your life, in the lowest place that you could ever be, you will seek Hashem. You will find him. Just seek him with all of your heart and soul. And it says over there, come back, return to Hashem, and you'll listen to him. Hashem is compassion. He will never ever, he doesn't want anything to happen to you. He doesn't want you to be weakened. He doesn't want you to be hurt. If you look there in the parish, all chizik. Hashem is Baruch Mashpia is in B'Tisha B'Av. Hashem is Baruch Marulana B'Zeh She'ika Havayda Z'Chizik. Hashem is showing us the main Havayda of Tisha B'Av is Chizik. There's a Maisa, I'm sure most of you heard of the Tzadikim from Alexander. The first Rebbe from Alexander was Rebbe Yechiel. Rebbe Yechiel from Alexander. His father was Rebbe Feivel from Gritza. I don't know if any of those names are familiar to you. In Poland, they were very, very, very famous great people. Rabbi Yechiel, when he was a little boy, he came home from Cheder, and he was crying. But he was crying in such a way, he couldn't stop crying. And his father, the Rav, the Tzaddik, Rabbi Feivel, his father asked him, Yechiel, what is it? What's wrong? He couldn't answer him. And he gave him to eat, and the Rebbetzin gave him to eat. The little boy, Yechiel, he couldn't eat. So the father sent a messenger to go bring the boy's Rebbe. He came off from Cheder like this. Maybe something happened. So like, any of us would also be very concerned. So he sent for the Rebbe, for the boy's Rebbe, and the boy's Rebbe came, and the Rav went with him into a room, and he asked him what happened in Cheder. Because Yechiel came home, he can't stop crying, he's not eating, we don't know what to do with him. So the Rebbe said, we're learning Navi, and we're learning that part of the Navi in Shaiftim, where it says that the Aron of Hashem, that the Ark of Hashem, was taken captive by the Plishtim. Was taken by the Plishtim. And when I said that, your son just put his head down and started sobbing, and I didn't know what to do. I went over to him, I put my arm around, and he just ran out from the Cheder. He was so distraught over the Chil Hashem. Over the Chil Hashem, how could it be that the Plishtim, the Goyim, took the Aron of Hashem? So Bichil's father told him to go now into the room with Yechiel and to learn with him the next parak, you know, when the Aron of Hashem was taken back. And how it was taken back with big covet, right? I'm not going into the story now with big covet, a whole nace that happened, and the Aron of Hashem went back to the Machne, to the camp of the Jews. Learn with him that capital, and he'll be okay. So I was thinking, I mean, Tisha B'Av, one of the hardest things to understand is how is it possible that right after Shabbos Chazoin and Tisha B'Av, then comes Shabbos Nachmu. Shabbos Nachmu, of course, has nothing to do with what they've made it, in, you know, as a day of as a time of vacationing. Not that Jews shouldn't have time to rest. I'm saying that that's not what Shabbos Nachmu. The Ikka of Shabbos Nachmu is to hear the Nechom of Hashem. Is to hear Hashem consoling us and strengthening us, giving us chizik. So I was thinking, how could that be? Right after Chazon, right after Tisha B'Av, you feel like, I mean, you're getting the biggest patch in the world, and the next thing is Shabbos Nachmu. So I was thinking that maybe this is what happened, the same thing that happened with the little boy Yechiel, who they saw if that was going to be big tzaddik. It's the same thing with all of us, that when it comes to Tisha B'Av and the things that we think about and what's happened to our people, so there's such unbelievable crying as Bochei Sifka B'Layla, V'Dimos Alechia, the crying that can't stop. And we're waiting for Hashem's Baruch. Of course, the advantage that the little boy had was that his father made the Rebbe learn with him the next parak immediately. So he was only crying for a short time. We've been crying for thousands of years. But we're waiting for Hashem's Baruch to learn with us the next kapitel, you know, the next parak. The next parak is Shabbos Nachmu. The next parak is unbelievable good stuff that's waiting for each and every one of us in Yerushalayim, with our families, with everybody together, with all that was being fixed, all that was broken being repaired, and so on. And this is the hashpah of Nechama that Hashem gives us at this time of the year. But Chazal tells us that only Hanis Abel Ol Yerushalayim is Zeichir V'Rabbi Simchasa. Only a person who feels the pain of the Yerushalayim's suffering can really rejoice in her redemption. And that's what we have to go through. Just like we know that the Ramban tells us that the population of Shevet Levi was very small, right? The population in the desert of Shevet Levi, when we came to the land, the population of Shevet Levi was very small. And the Ramban explains why is that. So he says an interesting thing. The Ramban says Shevet Levi, as we know, was not part of the enslavement. Shevet Levi, they were the priestly caste. They were not enslaved by Parah. So therefore, the Ramban says, since they weren't enslaved, they were not included in the bracha of Kasher Yanu Esei, Kain Yibiv Chain Yifreitz. You see, it says in Torah that to the extent that they were tormented and tortured, so they became great and they multiply. So those who were not tormented, they were not also were also not part of the bracha of Kain Yibiv Chain Yifreitz. So they didn't have the bracha of the other Shvat. Mashen came Bnei Don Chushim. Look, Chushim was the only child of Don. Was the only child. And the tribe was a great tribe, was a very populated tribe. It was much, much bigger than Shevet Levi. Because we can't understand the loneliness that he went through. And could you imagine if that's for an only child, then the loneliness of parents who got to be, of a husband and wife who can't have a child, or Chalila, where there's a loss. We can't understand that. But that brach is Kasha Yanu Oyesa, that the one who was most hurt is Kein Yibav Chein Yifreitz. The Baruch Hashem gives his infinite brachas of Chein Yibav Chein Yifreitz, of multiplying and becoming great. That we're not masik the whole year, we don't hear that. So therefore, Kol Mesabel Yerushalayim, we could hear it on Tisha B'Av. This time of the year, we could feel that. But only a person who's Mesabel al Yerushalayim, only the one who mourns over Yerushalayim, who suffers with the Jewish people, and is part of Klal Yisrael, and has suffered with Klal Yisrael. So that person can, at this time of the year, be zeichet v'roya b'simchasa. You remember we learned last week where it says Hine anachi shaleach lachem. Remember we learned from the Chernobyl, it says in the present tense, I am sending you, Eliyahu Navi. Not I will, I am sending you. In the present tense. Barinei Yerushalayim, we learned last week. I am building Yerushalayim, right now. So too. The one who mourns of Yerushalayim is zoicha v'roya, in the present tense, is able to already feel, is ready to have some strength and nechama, is zoicha v'roya b'simchas. That's what he's explaining. Shikar avoyde ze achizik. Which is also to keep in mind how, you know, the Gemara talks about the names of Mashiach, and there are different views. It's an amazing thing. The Gemara in heaven talks about this. There were students of different tzaddikim, and when there were discussions that took place in yeshivas, what is the name of Mashiach? Each group of students said that the name of Mashiach was their Rebbe's name. So there was a group of Talmidim whose Rebbe's name was Rebbe Menachem, and they said that the name of Mashiach is Menachem. The vast majority of Mekubalim, of Kabbalists over history, share this view that the name of Mashiach, even though he has a number of names, but the primary name of Mashiach Tzekeinu is Menachem. Means the whole inyan of Mashiach is Nechama. And the whole mitzias of Leidus HaMashiach inside each and every one of us at the difficult times of life, and Tishba, which is the most difficult time of the Jewish people, the Iker Leidus HaMashiach is the Koich of Menachem, to give Nechama to each and every one of us. There's a Nechlal the Koyach Shal Leidus Mashiach. We're in that little paragraph in the middle. There's a Nechlal on page that every Tisha B'Av, each and every one of us receives this strength of Leidas Mashiach, of the birth of Mashiach within us. And then we have the Torah reading on Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Nachma. What unbelievable Parsha, Parshas Veschana. The parasha, the haftarah, it's so unbelievable. It's kedai to be in shul and to be able to hear the kriyas haftarah and parshas v'eschanan, the kriyas haftarah Shabbos lacha tisha b'av, parshas v'eschanan, him kulam meleim in nechama. The parshas v'eschanan is a parasha that's filled with nechama, with Hashem's love for us. The chizik, l'chein karim v'parshas umimatan torah terasa shul mashiach kriya shma tefillin mezuzah ases adibris. All good things are in that parish. Kriya Shema, Tilim, Mezuzah, everything good. V'chol ha'ayrish shumunachim v'parish ha'kadosh shal v'eschanan kulam aleim v'sfugim v'kaych v'shal chizik. If you look in parishas v'eschanan, you really don't need to look in any other swarm. Just by learning parishas v'eschanan carefully and reviewing it with Rashi and with the Medrash on the parasha will give a person unbelievable chizik. Kaychus shaleidus Mashiach shemashpiim b'kol shon al'kol echad kaychus varus v'ashpois chadoshes shachizuk v'yahava, that we are able to feel davke following Tisha B'Av, and this is how we understand this period of time, as we see now in Eis Dalet, the 50 days between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, which, as I said before, are constructed to in that way which we are familiar with from Pesach to Shavuos. Anytime we find in Tanakh anything where there's a period of 50 is always an extremely significant number. It means, of course, the site of Yovel. It means being freed and being redeemed. That, of course, is what 50 always means. Just like the slave who in the Jubilee year in the Yovel, he's completely freed and everything returns to where it came from. Yovel, seven times Shemitah, Yovel, the inin of the number 50, is always a gilui, a revelation of redemption and Hashem Baruch's love for each and every one of us, that every Jew will have a Yeshua. Every Jew will be redeemed. So here he explains, Chazal HaKadoshim Tzadikim, Ha'apterav, HaKoshin Samagir, Ha'bnei Yisosov, Oy Tzadikim, Megalim Lanu. All of these Tzadikim have taught us. Sha'koyach Ha'otzim Va'anifla Shal Chizik V'ahav Shkibana B'tish Rav La'achah Chatzayis B'leidus Mashiach Zor B'chinish Al-Leidus Tinaik. These Svarim all tell us that the feeling of joy that we have at this time, that we can experience Tisha B'Av time, is compared to this birth of Mashiach is compared to the birth of a baby. This is a bechina of Leidas Tinaik, the birth of a baby. I should take if Beis HaLeida HaTinaik Adayin Ma'oid Katan. When the baby, right when the baby is born, you don't really have I mean, even though everybody's excited and you have a little baby and the baby's cute, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the mother is now, thank God she's healthy and she's well, and we see the baby's okay, Bez Hashem, so there's a tremendous amount of relief that goes with that. But as far as rejoicing with the baby, no, we really don't know much about this kid at that point. And there are many, many times in the future that we're going to be krechzing over that child and wondering what's going to be with that child. But when the baby's born, it's not really yet, there's no real redemption at that point. It's a ruach of redemption. It's the hope is born that if we work very hard and Hashem helps a lot, that this child will turn out to bring geula for our family and for the Jewish people. That's what we're hoping. But the tzaddikim explain that when the baby is born, the baby is very, very little. Ma'id cholosh, and very weak. Idle. The baby's idle, it's fragile. Delicate. Luzokik l'shmirat suma ma'id. And unlike an animal after a couple of minutes, I mean, I don't really know much about that. I just, you know, used to watch Wild Kingdom on Channel 4 when we were kids. But, you know, at least it seemed it was very fast over there, that an animal after it's born, that it doesn't take really long, and the mother gives a little bit of a push, and the mother takes care of the kid for, I don't know, a day. I think it was even sometimes a few hours or a day. Or sometimes they just leave them on their own. And the animal is mischazik to run off and to start to take care of himself. When it comes to a human being is not like that. And this is because of the greatness of a human being. The Maral explains this at length in Gerus Hashem. Because a human being is so exalted and great, something which is great, like they say by the Goyim, that Rome isn't built in a day. And that's a true expression, that the greater something is, obviously, the more work is involved, and the more patience there has to be, and the more time it takes. So a baby, when the baby is born, the baby is very, very weak, and the baby needs a tremendous amount of shmira. The baby has to be watched all the time. We have to take care of the baby and watch the baby. Baby really can't do anything on its own. Ad sheyigdal v'yachazek v'gadol, until the child is older and is stronger. We have one son, and boys like to wrestle, big boys and little boys. So my son and I, we used to wrestle and play around, and then he was growing up, and then at some point. When I had a hard time getting off the carpet in the living room that Shabbos, I don't know if you remember that, and my ribs were hurting me for like 2 weeks afterwards, and I realized it was time to stop wrestling. He was getting bigger and stronger than me. But the shmira until that time, when they're small and when they need us, is, and they really always need us. Even when they're older, they need us. There's a tremendous amount of shmira. Kach gam b'chines ha'leida shal Mashiach. On Tishah B'av Mashiach is born. The tzaddikim say it's like a baby. Mashiach's a newborn baby. There's a newborn, we're going to learn a lot about this throughout this entire talk. There's a newborn hope that's inside of me after Tishah B'av. And our shul, we sing on Tishah B'av, all of the Olam together, we sing Animam, and we sing at night, and then again in the day, we sing a lot of songs of Chizuk in the shul. But it's just, there's Leidus Mashiach, like a little baby. And we have to believe with all of our hearts that Hashem has provided each and every one of us with a new opportunity of chizik and with a new opportunity of redemption for himself, for his family. But this, of course, is called, this isn't yet Mashiach itself. This is called Ruach of Mashiach. This is called the Spirit of Mashiach, the Ruach of Mashiach. Ruach Elokim Rachefes. Ruach Elokim Rachefes, at the beginning of the Torah, it says Ruach Elokim Rachefes, the Spirit of Hashem was hovering. And that, Chazal say, was Ruach Shel Mashiach, was the Ruach of Mashiach Tzikeinu. When we daven, we ask Hashem, Ruach Kodshecha, al tikach mimeni. What does it mean, Ruach Kodshecha? It means, I'm not there yet, but I want to be there. That feeling of wanting is called Ruach Kodshecha. It's a Ruach of Kedusha. It's not Kedusha itself. Kedusha itself is when we're there. It's not Mashiach itself, or Mashiach, the light of Mashiach. That's when you're mamish there. That's when the thing is resolved. That's when redemption takes place. But there's something that comes before. It's when a person feels that it's going to be okay, and he feels hopeful, and he feels excited about the future. That's called Ruchai Shel Mashiach, the spirit of Mashiach. The Ruach of Mashiach. Spirit's not really good. The Ruach of Mashiach. That's what it means. The Ruach Kodshecha Al Tikach Mimani. We could daven for that too. It doesn't mean Ruach HaKadosh. We think the Ruach HaKadosh means that I know the future. Ruach HaKadosh means that there's a Ruach of Kedush inside of me, that there's something inside of me that's telling me that I can achieve holiness. I can be better than I am. That's called Ruach Kodshecha. Ruach Kodshecha. And we're asking Hashem, Ruach Kodesh Al Tikach Mimani, don't take this from me. Zeh Abchina Shel Ruach Ish Techalkel Machaleihu. That when a person is feeling, God forbid, when a person is sick, and he really, really was terribly, terribly ill, and he begins to feel a ruach. He's not better yet, but it's that turn towards the better. It's that breaking of the fever. It's that first, you get a little bit of your strength back. And there's a ruach ish that begins to support you. And even though you're not yet clear, but you feel like it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Zo akoyach ha'otzum shel ish asher ruach bay. That's the amazing koyach of ish asher ruach bay. Mashiach is described in such a way. I mean, all the tzaddikim. When in recently, when we read in the parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu knew that his time in this world was ending, so he asked Hashem to please choose an appropriate leader for Klal Yisrael. Isha Sheruach Bai. He doesn't have to be perfect, but he has to be an Isha Sheruach Bai. He has to be a person of spirit. Isha Sheruach Bai, a person that has his chaskis and that is excited about the future and that wants things to be good, not someone chas shalom that is lifeless, that has lost hope. Isha Sheruach Bai, that's the way we have to be in our homes and the yeshivas, to be Isha Sheruach Bai. Kol zeh kol beruchei shel Mashiach. That means Mashiach hasn't yet arrived. Not only for our people, but for that individual family or that person, redemption hasn't yet come. Mashiach himself hasn't arrived. But a person can begin to feel Ruchai Shel Mashiach. He begins to feel Ruchai Shel Mashiach. And it's very important to give other Jews who Chalila are not feeling hope, to give them a Ruach of Mashiach. Every time, Lo Aleinu, we have to pay a Shiva call. Take us to give a person a Ruach of Mashiach. You can't, there's nothing you can do to take a person out of that place at that time. There's nothing you can do. What are you supposed to do? And that's why most of the time we come there, we don't even know what to say. We don't know what to do. And there are halachas about what to say and how to say. And then we always feel like I could have said and I didn't say. And what did I say? I shouldn't have said. But sometimes the ikkar is really just to, when you're there, but to say some words with Hashem's Baruch's help, to give the person, Lower Lane, who went through a loss, a ruach of chizuk, a ruach of Mashiach Tzikeinu. And that happens when there's a chizuk v'ahava. The ikkar is when you show that you care, when you show that you you love someone, it's a ruach of ahava. I always mention this to my wife, because it's something that probably all of us have had to deal with. You know, we have, Baruch Hashem, many simchas, many, many simchas, and so now they made a big thing out of this, out of the Vart. The Vart became, it achieved all-star recognition. When we were married, it was the family a little bit, and drank L'chaim, and how this happened, it's really not kedai to talk about. It's just, this is the Metzius, and okay, it should only be good things for Jews, but it's a funny thing. Like, so sometimes I'm in shul by Maariv, and I see the father of the Chassan is there, or the father of the Kala. I say, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. And then I have to go like to Staten Island, because the Vart is in Staten Island, and I go, and we go for 2 hours, you know, back and forth, 3 hours. I walk into the house, I say, Mazel Tov, Yanka. And then you go home. And he was around the corner for me, and I said it at Maariv. And then I just said this to Myron the other day. It's like, you know, it's Mazel Tov. This is Mazel Tov in Shul. But of course, the Yisod HaDavar is that you went to the trouble and you care enough for me, and you somehow proved your love for me by showing up. This is an expensive and time-consuming way of showing love that has hurt the children of our generation terribly, and I wish it wouldn't be necessary, because the Vart is Be'emes, an Irish guy, the whole thing. But the Yisayid Hadavar, the underlying Yisayid of this, is that when a person sees, wow, you came, you must care about me. You know, you must really care about me. And that gives a person a ruach of chizik. It's hard when you're on the other side, but when you're the one that receives it, and there's someone that came to the chasana, suddenly you feel good that the person came. You feel good. It's a ruach of ahav. It's a ruach of chizik that a person gets, because sof kol sof the person came. We'll call shana a nishba be'efen chazik yaisa. And here there's another nekuda. Rav Simei is adding here another point. The Tisha B'Av's and the post Tisha B'Av's, the Nechama that comes every Tisha B'Av afternoon and on, especially during those weeks, the amazing weeks of the 7 weeks of Nechama till Rosh Hashanah, it's cumulative, which means it's not that every year it's Nachat Tisha B'Av or Nachat Shabbos Nachamim. The Tzaddikim have taught us that every, all the Tisha B'Avs and all the Shabbos Nachamos are adding up one upon the other. That means that this year, Mitzvah Hashem, the Nechama that we have is not just the Nechama of Tavshin Samach Dalet. It's not just the Nechama of this year. It's the accumulated Nechama that Hashem has given the Jewish people for thousands of years, with the additional Tavshin Samach Dalet Nechama. It's cumulative. And if not, we wouldn't be able to go on. We think like we're big knackers, so we can manage. If we only got the Nechama that our Zaydis and Bobbies got, we wouldn't get up the next day. Hashem Yisbarach gives our generation much more Nechama than he's ever given before. We're just so close-minded and so small that it's hard for us to see. But the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us unbelievable Nechama. The whole life that we have here, the whole life that we're living is such a Nechama. When I say that, doesn't apply to everybody. There are plenty of Jews who don't have an easy life. But compared to the way that our parents and grandparents had to live and the things that they contended with, there's lots and lots of nechama that we have just in being able to have a life that's not as filled with the complications that our ancestors had to contend with. He called Tisha B'Av Kailu B'Seiches Kala Shonim Shekodmulai. Every Tisha B'Av has in it all of the earlier Tisha B'Avs, which in a certain way means that we feel in certain ways even more pain than was ever felt before on Tisha B'Av. We feel in a certain way the pain is even sharper. when I look at when I see in the Svarim, like when I see Rabbi Yaakov Emden, there's a famous thing for Rabbi Yaakov Emden. I used to read it every year in the Shul Tisha B'Av. There's a famous thing in the Siddur of the Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur, where the Yavetz writes over there how the greatest miracle, infinitely greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the existence of the Jewish people, the survival of the Jewish people over the torture and the difficulties of Galus. And he writes there about how the fact that we're able to exist and to still be Jews after what we've been through is the greatest nice of all. And when I first saw that, when I was around 15, I wanted to scream. And I wanted to go to his grave and say, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Rabbi Rabban Shokol Yisrael, you don't even know what my parents went through. You have no idea. Not that we compare suffering, but you never saw the Holocaust. It's like, maybe he saw it in his way, but he was speaking about the experiences of Klal Yisrael. It's like when the Holy Rebbe, the Piazetzne, after whom our shul is named, the Eishkaidish Chus Yagelenu, when he was writing, he wrote, he was giving over Torah in the Warsaw Ghetto. He chose to remain there. He had papers to leave, and he stayed in the Warsaw Ghetto. Ultimately, he was taken to Treblinka. He was killed. The Piazetzna was himself an Eish Kaidish. And that Tzaddik, we have Torahs from him. They've been translated into English. We have Torahs that he gave over during the years of the war in the Warsaw Ghetto. And you can get them in any farm store that translated into English. It's called Sacred Fire. In one of the Torahs, he said that it was earlier in the Milchama, I think it was in 1941, something like that, and he was writing about how he was writing about how he taught at that Shabbos that suffering is not new to the Jewish people, and what we're going through now is something that our ancestors at the time of the Beis Hamikdash and so on, they went through even greater difficulties, and he spoke about that to tell them not to be Messiahish. Then on the bottom of that page there's a footnote where the Rebbe a year later went back and he wrote a note on the earlier years drasha, and he said, I said those things last year when I said that it was true, but by this year, which was 1942, he says that by this year, I have to say that never in the history of our people has there been such madness. Never have we been put through such suffering as now. And he wrote it in a very, very graphic way, which I'm not going to go over right now, but what he wrote there, he said that there was never such suffering for Klal Yisrael. And so therefore, since it's all cumulative, in a certain way, our generation, together with the cumulative nechama, has lived through in certain ways the cumulative or accumulated pain and suffering of the Jewish people. That's not only, God forbid, with Holocaust and concentration camps, but that's even the difficulties in homes now, which we spoke about many times over the years, that the tabus roh, the difficulties that many parents are having these days with giving over Yiddishkeit to the children and feeling secure with their children growing up the right way. There's tremendous, tremendous amount of pain and suffering that's going on in this inyan. And other tzaras that somehow it's all accumulated and we feel it in certain ways, even though physically life is better for us, generally speaking, than it has been for our ancestors. The closer we get to Mashiach, not just the Ruach of Mashiach, but to the light of Mashiach, to Mashiach himself. The Ruach is like, you know, there's a wind that's like the wind that's coming before. Then as you get closer, you can already see that light, and then there's Mashiach himself. So there's Ruach of Mashiach, then there's the Ur Shal Mashiach, and there's Mashiach himself. So as we get closer to Mashiach, Kach Nishpoi Makoiches Ha'elu Ba'ashpoi Gidoilu Va'atzuma Yoyse V'yoyse. So these Hashpois, this Nechama, this hope, this faith that it's going to be good, get stronger and stronger. And each year, as we get closer to Mashiach, Hashem is giving us, he's being mashpia, this feeling in a stronger way. Especially this year, it should be the last Tisha B'Av, it's the final Tisha B'Av in Golos. You know, Jews used to put away their kinis in Seamus every year. Of course, now they can't do it since they made expensive, you know, arts called kinis. So even though we believe in Mashiach, we don't want to, you know, throw away $20. So now you put the kinis in a nice place on the shelf. By our parents and grandparents, they used to take the kinis and they used to put it into Seamus to say that it's enough and that we don't plan on having a. That's my father told me he doesn't understand when he looks in the Jewish newspapers before Tisha B'Av, and there are a million seminars and talks, and then all day of Tisha B'Av became a day of speeches and lectures, because of course Jews aren't motivated enough anymore to just say kinis. So you have to have all kinds of things. They're good things. I mean, okay, what are you going to do? That's where we're holding. So you have to have talks about and so on, but not to be able to just to say kinis, but to talk about kinis. So my father has told me that he doesn't know that it became such a big thing. All the lectures for Tisha B'Av and what's everybody talking about so much? My father always says it's better. It should go away. My father used to put it away, and now they make tapes and CDs and worldwide things about Tisha B'Av and all, which of course are for chinuch and are good things and we need. I'm not saying God forbid we don't need them, but this should be the last Tisha B'Av. The Tisha B'Av Ha'achman Shahar Yolana B'Golas. The Meila Ke'es Anachnu Mileim M'Koiches Atzum Sharuchay Shamashir. So this is a time when we're filled with tremendous, tremendous Koich of Ruach of Mashiach. I will call Zeh Adan M'Kinish Aleida. But it's like a little baby. It's a Ruach of Mashiach, meaning that there is this little baby, this little point of hope, and this little, just like the baby has inside of him, inside of her, all of the chemical things, the DNA, the RNA, and all the other stuff that he needs, that she needs to grow up, but it's still in a state of katness, of smallness. So too, Hashem is mashpia in our lives, tremendous, tremendous kaiches of latest Mashiach, but it hasn't yet developed. And therefore he says, therefore it's still very weak, very delicate. We're going to learn a lot about this. We're going to start really to work on this more next week. That there's a special Yetzirah in our generation we're going to learn about. That this Yetzirah comes to take away from us that baby. To take away from us that child. That baby that's called Leidus Mashiach that happens every Tisha B'Av. There's a special Yetzirah. That by the time, God forbid, by the time it gets to Rosh Hashanah, we feel it's hafal, chas v'shalom. He says, ki ha'ikah ma'asha yetzim eshtadlo misyageya, lachtaif mikol Yehud, the next page 3. It's a chizik v'asimcha v'ahavz Hashem. The Yetzar has a special tactic, which we're going to learn about next week. The Yetzar has a special means of trying to take away from us a feeling of chizik, and a feeling of simcha, and a feeling of ahavas Hashem, Hashem's love for us, as hagoshes hakirvel Hashem, that feeling of closeness to Hashem, as hagoshes hami goy gorla shaloyli can crave me love, as it says in the parasha that we read on Shabbos Nachemu, that mi goy gorla, who is such a great nation, that Hashem is so close to the Jewish people, as kolze humanasum shtadel hachtaif. All of this feeling that we get, of that feeling of Mashiach's birth inside of us, the Yetzer comes to try to take it away from us. And we're going to learn throughout this entire talk, this entire Shmuz, the Shia, we're going to learn about what that particular method is of how the Yetzer tries to do that, and how we can learn to overcome that. So we should be able to take this chizik and this nechama with us into Rosh Hashanah, and mail into the entire year. As calls him and asks him to start a lachtev. Okay, k'mayshe tina katan zokuk l'shmira tzuma. Just like a little child needs tremendous shmira, you don't leave a child by itself. You have to watch the child. The child needs tremendous shmira. Kach gam akarech shaleidus Mashiach v'sachena. So too that birth of that little baby that's of Mashiach that we spoke about last week, that's born inside of us on Tisha B'Av, needs tremendous care. We're going to learn how to do that. What that means practically. Zokuk l'shmira tzum el hashgach, we have to watch it carefully. Shnismase l'gadol l'harbois l'chazik, I say, how do you take care of your kid? You don't just watch the child, but you put the baby in a room and look through a window and watch. No, you feed, you take care of, you educate, you change the clothing. You know, there are many things that are necessary to raise a child. We don't realize that when it comes to good feelings and good thoughts inside of us, that they also need to be nurtured and to be fed and to be cared for. And sometimes a person has just a chaskis. Let's say that Bez Hashem is a simcha. You make a simcha in the family. So if you're making a chasna, everybody should be zoicha to make good shaduchim and wonderful chasnas. So when you make a chasna, a chasna is an unbelievable time. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur, it's Shabbos Nachemu, it's Tu B'Av. Everything is in a chasna. The chasna kala, the kaiches that they have, the shefa that they have, the whole family, the parents, the mechutanim, the whole chasna is an unbelievable maimad, a time that a person is zeicher for an opening, that there's no other opening as big in one's entire life as a chasna. And that's why Davka is such a yetzar to take away from a person all of the godless, all of the moich and the godless, especially by chasna, to get lost in silly things and narishkeit and to forget the sight of what this is all about. I don't have to go into that. So there's a tremendous, tremendous yetzar to take away that godless that a person has. If a person were able to just hold on to the simcha, the chasna kala, and what that means for the family and for all the generations and the future, and to go with that and to raise that baby. What do I mean to raise the baby? I mean to take that simcha of the chasna, that godless of the chasna, and after the chasna, instead of falling into katness, smallness, and getting lost, you know, Shabbos Shabbos, by that you're ready, you know, you've had it. For the person to be able to hold on with tefillos, and with bakoshes, and with ahava, and with simcha, a person could take from a chasna so much for the entire year, for his entire life, for himself, for the family, for the children, for the grandchildren. Really, it's any time there's an opening like that, it's such a shas kosher that Hashem is giving a bracha that a person has to. But you have to feed that. You have to take care of it. You have to nurture it. That's why there's such a yetzahara to lose the simcha, even by the chasna itself. Because the chasnas have become so complicated in America, not everywhere in America, but in New York especially, the chasna becomes so complicated, it's very hard to have simcha, because everybody's so nervous about the flowers and the band and the hairdos and the makeup and all the protim that are 95% total havel havalim, that a person gets so lost in the prati pratim that you could forget, what chasna is. You could forget bechlau the chasna is. And I had a conversation with a principal recently, not from our area, a principal that I felt was just there was something that wasn't done in the right way over there, and I was talking to the principal. And the principal was just talking about this person who was wealthy, and he wanted to meet this person, you know, from my community. And I really couldn't get him back on track, you know, about the kids. And I said, you know, it's chaval. It would really, really be nice if education would have something to do with children. It would be really nice. Now, I said, I understand it. You know, so he said, oh, what do you mean? What do you think I need the money for? We need the money because of and to be able to educate people. I said, I know, I just wanted to remind you that we have to just remember that this is for the children, you know. This is all for the children, right? It's all for the children. So sometimes you forget the Ikka Inyan, you forget. There's the Eight Sorrow to take away from a person, the Ikka of what is it that's happening at that time in your life. And since this time of the year is a time of unbelievable necham and ischaskas, that a person could take this koyach of Mashiach for the whole year, but it has to be fed, it has to be taken care of, it has to be nurtured, and therefore it requires a shmirat suma, tremendous shmir and hashkachas and ismasa lagadol ulaharbeis ulachazakais, to strengthen it. V'zuha avoyde shavinu shushmai mashpilo b'chamishim hayom ha'elam yitishba v'rosh Hashanah. And this is the koyach that Hashem is mashpia upon us during this period of time, the 7 weeks of Nechama between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, the 50 days, an amazing, amazing time that really we didn't learn about in yeshivas growing up. Partly because it was the summer, so we missed out on the parashiyas of the right. So it was the summer, but even if it would be during the year, it's not generally in the curriculum that's being taught. The same way we didn't learn so much about, you know, Tu B'Shvat, except we had an assembly and they gave us a brown bag and said Tu B'Shvat Higia, and then, you know, we tried to look inside and find a peanut or something and I gave my boxes to my father, and that's, you know, what's Tu B'Shvat? Tu B'Av. Bechlal is Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av is the biggest, most unbelievable yontif. We're going to talk about it. Tu B'Av is the biggest yontif in the world. It's the biggest yontif. It's so big that we don't have a hasag of what it is. And we don't even know. It just slips by. It's just like Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Av are the biggest yontif. Mamish, the biggest yontif is Kiyam HaKippur. Tu B'Av is Kiyam HaKippur. Look at Tu B'Av. Hamish is above. We don't have a hasag of on Tu B'Av without having to fast. Without having to stand in shul all day, without having to finish a machze, Tu B'Av is itself kiyom kippur mamish. A person understands what's Tu B'Av, to have that understanding of what it is. So we're going to Mitzvah learn about how to nurture and to take care of that fragile little Mashiach that's born in Tisha B'Av. What we can do to take care of him, of it, of that feeling during the 50 days. During the 50 days that followed. I just remembered, I told this story to my wife the other day, and I saw in the Sefer that I wanted to share with you while I still can remember it, that there was when the Jews, there was a group of Jews that had just arrived at Buchenwald, and I saw that mostly they were Bachram, they were boys, Nabuch. And among the boys were some older men. Rav Gudel Eisner was one of the big, big Geri Hasidim. After the war, he became the Mashgiach, the Mashpia, in the Geri Shiv Chadushim in Tel Aviv. Rav Gudel Eisner was like a legendary figure among Geri Hasidim. If you ask any Polish or Yid Bechlau, but a Geri Chasid, Rav Gudel Eisner, he was a Kaddish Elyon, a real Polish Chasid. So this, he wasn't an old man. He was a young man, but he was older than the bachim that were there. And they were changing them. They were online, and they were naked, and then they were giving them the shmatis to put on, those horrible shmatis. And there was one bacha there that just broke down. There's a bacha that broke down. He just sat on the floor, and he started sobbing. And Reb Gudel knew that's 30 seconds. He's finished. They're going to kill him. And Reb Gudel went over to him, and he risked his life. Reb Gudel went, and he sat next to him, and he said to him, "He says, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're worried about. You're thinking, after this is over, you're thinking that you hope to meet a nice girl and to have a beautiful chasna and to settle down and get married. That's what you're thinking, right?" And this bach is like in the middle of sobbing. They just got the buchenwald. He said, "That's what you're thinking." He said, "And you're probably worried that there won't be any klezmer left, any Jews to play in the band, and that there won't be any bakers left to make some leikach and kichlach for the chasna. I'm telling you, don't worry about it. There's going to be, for sure they're going to be, but there'll be some bakers and some musicians left for your chasna. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So come on, stand up." And this yid told over the maaser that Reb Gudel, he didn't, the first thing he started talking, "Are you out of your mind?" And the people that were standing, the other guy said, "Is he crazy? We just got here concentration camp. He's talking about leikach and egkichel and having a klezmer, having a band, but a chasna." And this yid survived the war, and he said that ruach of nechama and of chizik that Reb Gudel infused in him kept him alive throughout the entire milchama. He went through the Gehenim of Gehenims, the Polish Jews, what they went through, and he went through all of that, and he was able to build a family, and he was able to remember by the chasna that he took Yidden after they went through the milchama, and he had the survivors of the war to play in the band, and he had the baking by the chasna. But that gave him the ruach. That means what was the musa? What was Reb Gudel? What was he talking about? He was talking about at the darkest moment of a person's life. At the darkest moment of a person's life, you have to be mashpia, you have to be mashpia into that person, a ruach of Mashiach. And this happens as every Yitishbar, Hashem Shabbat does that for us. He is mashpia into our lives, a ruach of Nechama, a ruach of Ischaskis, that the Melchama will be over. The war will be over, and there'll be chasnas, and there'll be bamitzes, and Mitzvah Shem, and there'll be good things that we have to look forward to. Lonu Lokal Yisrael, we should hear Mitzvah Shem B'Seres Taifas. Oh,